right, welcome back to the big program. Just after 10 o'clock, and every Friday, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, we're going to focus on golf in the 10 o'clock hour on Fridays. We're going to, maybe we'll just call it Golfing with Gary, because it's Gary Myers who's going to be with us every Friday from 10. And it's presented by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet and born right here in Edmonton, Alberta. Check them out, backscape.com. That's BAKSCAPE.com.
Look what I got right here.
And he's got, Gary Myers got it. He's,
I got,
he
my
brought it in.
I got my Backscape right here.
Yeah.
And yeah, this thing, well, look how the whole thing comes together. See, there's a handle.
Yeah.
Snaps in. That,
you have to explain
fit.
It because we're not
oh,
on
yeah.
TV,
okay.
obviously.
Sorry, well,
know.
I'm showing it
you
to
know.
You.
Yes.
Okay.
You know.
Well, it's, yeah, it's got this, this
ergonomic
handle.
Yeah.
And
it looks good.
It's a friction fit.
Yeah.
So the head goes in this, and then so you got this extra arm.
Think of a back scrubber.
A back scratcher. Yeah,
yeah. A back scrubber.
Back
you know,
scrubber,
back
yeah.
scrubber. You get those ones with the, you know, there's some, the old loofah on the back, you
yeah.
know.
But
and this thing
because
just
guys
trims
are,
it all up.
Yeah, guys are way more conscious of back hair
they
and
are.
Stuff. This thing is unbelievable. And
yeah.
it was invented by a guy
yeah.
here in Edmonton, Marty Niles. And this guy's he's a genius when it comes to inventing things.
Wow.
He invented, he had a company called Cantega.
Mm-hmm.
And this worked with the electrical grids and, I mean, unbelievable stuff. And, yeah, this is his next idea. And
so it looks like it's a simple idea, though, right? It's simple, but it works.
Yeah, he's only sold 75,000 of these so far in the first about 20 months.
Wow.
And, hasn't gone to Europe yet, mm-hmm. just in the States and in Canada. I think they're in a sold-out position right
wow.
now, but this thing is just going crazy. It's going to be on Amazon.
Check them out, backscape.com.
Yep.
Backscape.com. Kevin Karius, Gary Meyer. Gary just returned from the Alice Cooper, and we had Alice Cooper on 2 weeks ago. You're down there at Las Sendas in Mesa.
Yep.
Last week for the Alice Cooper Rock and Roll Golf Classic. How was it? What was the what's the craziest or wildest thing that happened at the Alice Cooper tournament?
Well, there's always stuff that happens. The night before is the gala,
yeah.
right? So they put up this huge stage. Last year they had 3,000. I don't know how many were there this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was huge. But what I thought was the wildest thing is Mickey Dolenz from okay. the Monkees, and I think he's the only one left. He was there, and you know, singing songs and stuff. He had the crowd on its feet. It was why, you know, of course, Alice's deal is always just flat out fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the golf the next day. So you see a variety of players coming through. Marty McSorley was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting to be a big guy. He moved from California to
yeah,
Phoenix.
I saw that picture with Gene Principe and Marty.
Yeah.
And he's getting, yeah, he's a big guy now.
Right? Oh, man. Well, he used to pound his helmet on with a rubber hammer. So, yeah. But, no, lots of fun. Marty was all over the map. One of the guys on his team had it kind of a hanging line. He was going to hit this real high pitch shot. Well, he thinned it just about through the house across the road. And I looked at Marty. Marty looked at me. I said, not a lot of guys hit a 2-iron from there. So, no, we had a lot of laughs. It was a great event, just a great event.
It's Gary Meyer. We'll have Ron Lyons with us in about 10 minutes or so from the Legends Golf Course. Some great things that we're going to talk about with Ronnie about whether it be tees, clubs, hickories, golf carts, the course. It's endless with Ron. So the final round of the Masters
yeah.
is the same day of the tournament.
Yes,
so you're keeping on, you're keeping an eye on the tournament. You're keeping an eye on the Masters.
Well, I'm on a tower behind the 18th green.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we announce the players as they come up, and then every group has a celebrity. So I have a bio on those. So we go through that, and there's sound effects and music playing.
You're not cutting these guys, is there?
No, you know me. You know me. No.
Well,
no. I had Tiger Williams about 5 years ago throw a rake at me. He threw his putter at me. And
what did you say?
Oh, well, he thought the ball was out of the sand trap. I thought it was in, and so he's yelling and hollering and stuff. So anyway, First, he threw his putter, and he didn't get it. Then I said, well, there, once again, not enough club. And he grabbed the rake. He fired the rake at me and hit the computer and knocked it off the thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, when we were at the prize presentation, he gave me one of those, you know, love taps in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still, you know, going through therapy.
I'm sure it was just
this.
A nice little love tap. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's on the Masters. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised at the number of big name guys that missed the cut.
Yeah.
Shocking, really. But what a machine. Once he got it
Scotty,
rolling there.
Yeah. Scotty Scheffler. I mean, right now, by far the best player on the planet. It's not even close. The question that I wanted to ask you is, how does a guy go from the Masters and then you're playing Harbortown this weekend?
Well, I think it shows in the right now. Did he make the cut?
He was minus two yesterday, I thought.
So. Oh, he was there? Yeah. Oh, okay. I looked at it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You got to wonder. That's the pinnacle. I mean, how do you get any better than that?
Yeah, well, he's T33. He was minus two yesterday. Tees off at 11:30. So, I mean, he's right there. He gets the charge. He's right in the hunt again. Tom Hoagie leads right now at 10 under. Patrick Rogers is a shot back. Seamus Power and Patrick Cantlay, as well as Sepp Straka and JT Poston, are all at 8 under. Canadians... Mackenzie Hughes, the top Canadian right now at minus five, I believe. So T13.
Okay. Yeah.
So Corey Connors is there. Hadwin's there.
I saw Connor. Yeah, it looked like he was minus two yesterday. But when you watched him, even in the interview in the mm-hmm. Butler cabin, I was amazed at the rapport the guy had. I mean, when he said, you got your wife at home expecting and you've just won the Masters, you would think that would be highly emotional. And maybe that's just, the cut that he is. A guy like Ben Hogan was like that. I mean, so focused.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see anything else going on. When you watched this guy walking down the fairway and the applause he was getting and stuff like that, he was just locked right in.
His pulse rate doesn't get over 70, it seems, no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, he's just that type of guy. He's that type of guy that has that, it's a reserve personality. And focus is a good word.
Yeah.
Those are the guys. And look at all the guys that are like that. All the successful golfers, it seems, right?
Yeah. Well, Hogan was a special breed altogether. I got the opportunity to spend time with George Knutson, who was probably, other than Mike Weir, one of our most famous professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And he would spend hours watching Hogan hit balls. And he would stand, not that far back from him.
Yeah.
And after 2 years, somebody finally said to Hogan, why are you being such a jerk? And he said, well, what do you mean? He said, this young guy has been standing back there watching you for all these years, and you don't even give him the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
He said, to be honest with you, he said, I didn't even know he was there.
Yeah.
And that was the focus. He was just locked in. And one of the other comments I heard him make, he said, when they teed off, he said to the guy, listen, he said, I won't be talking to you much. He said, feel free to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the only thing you'll probably be saying is nice shot. So,
nice shot. I get used to that playing with Laura. You know that.
Yeah.
I'm sick of playing with her already. No, I'm not. I enjoy playing with her. Don't beat her too often, but that's the way it goes.
Well, maybe you should start playing from the men's tees.
She should be playing from the tips. That's what should happen.
Oh.
When we come back, we're going to check in with Ron Lyons from Legends Golf Club. Ron, if you don't know, has an amazing golf collection, whether it be tees, clubs, golf carts. I'm probably missing some things. But he's also set up a neat room at Legends called the Legends Room. Gary Myers in the Legends Room, but several outstanding local golfers. And that's what it's all about. This show, this 1 hour that we're going to talk every Friday, a lot about local golfers. We'll touch on the PGA, but we want to try to keep it as local as possible because golf in our city is such a big, big deal.
Yeah.
Well, here's a quick question before we go to break. When you were a pro, Gary, at Belvedere and wherever else, and you see, okay, so last Sunday I played at the ranch. Shorts, T-shirt. I mean, it's just, unbelievable collared shirt, never mind.
Yeah.
Great day. And then the weather, you see it on Tuesday and it's a blizzard in town. As when you're running a golf course, and we'll talk to Ronnie about this as well, like you must just go, come on.
Oh, Well, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I remember one year we opened March 18th. I had the driving range open at Belvedere, which was unheard of.
Yeah.
And the place was packed and everybody was excited. We're going to open the next day. And the weather started to turn a little bit. And, you know, people, it was getting later and people started to go home. And, well, it pounded down snow. And I had a little Suzuki 4x4 that I used to, on the driving range. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't have had that, I would have never got out of there. I mean, it snowed 2.5 feet. And Belvedere gets more snow in that area. There's just a swath through there. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. And it, you know, put us back. So we go from March 18th to, I think we opened like April 6th or something like that. You know, we lost two and a half weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Alberta. And Ron knows this, and you know what I mean.
It's the way it goes.
It's unbelievable.
Wait 5 minutes, it'll change.
Yeah.
Yeah, and over the course of the next, 5 months and change, we'll really get our viewers in because it's just we're close to golf season feeling there. It's, you know, again, this week made it a step back, but, you know, we're going to ask questions. We'll have what's your favorite par three in town? What's your favorite par four? Favorite course? Favorite, facility, practicing, et cetera, et cetera. What do you like? So we're going to really get things going as the golf season progresses here as well in the next couple of weeks. When we come back, Ron Lyons from the Legends Golf Club will be with us. Gary Meyer, Kevin Karius on Sports 1440. Stay with us.
Ah, yes.
It's kind of being a staple too, dude. This, the peppers coming in here, you know.
Well, yeah, that's like it's Friday.
It's Friday.
That song gets
We've
you
had
going.
Lots of requests too. I think you're
we've got a bunch of them in the mix.
And you're going to mix them over to the Fantasy Frenzy or what?
Yeah, hopefully.
You have no choice. I mean, we've got the 10:40 staple coming up here.
That's true. I can't. Yeah.
Sonny James. 10:20. All right, Kevin Karius, Gary Meyer, Sports 1440. Every Friday, we're going to focus on golf, golfing with Gary, and nice to welcome in Ron Lyons to the studio. Ron from Legends Golf and Country Club. Ron, thanks for coming in. Appreciate you making the trip here to West Edmonton Mall.
Yeah, well, I don't come to the mall that often, and I have to tell you, I got a little disorientated. I end up in a herd of these mall walkers, and I almost never made it.
Yeah, you know what? You would be about the 18th guest that we've had in here that have maybe just you were early, too.
Yeah, do not go with the flow.
Yes. So, Ron, we're looking at 1994 when you opened the Legends.
That's correct, yeah.
Isn't that something, how time flies like that, and how the course is gone from 94 to where it is now? Just give us your thoughts on, you know, the evolution of the track at Legends.
Yeah, well, you think back, like now I guess we'd be considered like a millennial, right? We're 30 years old. Mm-hmm. So it's not, the course is starting to mature and it's starting to take shape, and it's not like some of the old courses, you know, like Mayfair and Highlands and that are pushing 100 years old, right?
Yeah.
But you can really notice now the improvements over time, and it's mostly with the help of Mother Nature. The trees getting bigger, you have to shape your shots a little more. And with the expansion across the road on the river, we got a mile of riverfront on the second nine and potential for a fourth nine.
Are you looking at doing that?
Not really, right?
You got enough to worry about as it is.
My little partner, Eddie Chan, he's like, the money guy goes, it kind of comes down to, we're doing well with three nines and that, and, you know, why go to four and stick your neck out when you're 70 years old for, looking for more?
Yeah. No, that's right.
And Gary, you've been out there a million times, obviously.
I've been out a number of times. Yeah. You know, it's funny, this goes back, 30 years now. And I first met Ron at a Chinese restaurant in Sherwood Park, and he said, I'm building a golf course, and I'd never met him. Would you come out and have a look? I said, well, yeah, sure. So we went out, and there was no grass at all. I mean, everything was roughed in, and we walked the property, and I thought, this is unbelievable out here. This is what a great spot. And to just, you know, have come up with this, and I'm thinking, well, it's a ways out, and I don't know. So he actually said, well, listen, you know, would you be interested in buying a share, you know, getting involved in this? And of course, I was way too busy thinking about, investing my money in real smart things like typewriter ribbon and, you know, Blockbuster Video.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, stuff like
all
that.
All the smart stuff.
Yeah. So I turned them down. But what a great facility. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they run the people through there, and they've got loyalty. The people that play, they love it out there, and playing that that new nine across the other side, Ron, it's just a treat. It's just what a wonderful facility.
Yeah. So, Ron, you brought a couple books in with you as well. And for those of you that don't know, Ron is a massive collector and historian. That would say it to a T with golf and, you know, the evolution of golf as well. So just even one of these books is all about tees. And the book is honestly, it's an inch and a half thick.
529?
It's 520 pages. It's
just on tees.
Correct, yeah. And it's like a couple of things, like the golf cart book is the only book ever written on the history of the golf cart. Mm-hmm. My collection is the only substantial golf cart collection in the world. And then I collected tees and decided, well, if we're going to leave a legacy there with the tees, mm-hmm. no one has ever written a comprehensive book on the history of the golf tee. So I married my collection with a few other collections from friends from around the world, right? Mm-hmm. We did a nice illustrated book there on the history of the golf tee, starting with the early molds right up to some of the modern gadgets. And
At the bottom of the hill, when you pull into the Legends, is your Quonset with all the golf carts and other memorabilia as well.
Yep.
So how did this passion start for you, and where has it gone from at that point to where it is now?
I think I started collecting, you know, to decorate the clubhouse. And I remember I went to my wife and I said, like, well, she knew I was buying a lot of stuff and that. And I said, I'll tell you what. I go, I'm not going to sit there arguing about every little thing I buy, right?
Yeah.
I go, I don't want to sit there, well, how much you pay for this? How much you pay for this? So I said, I made her the same deal as the U.S. Army. Don't ask, don't tell. So I went on. I traveled all over the world, golf shows, and we have meets, you know, where we play hickory and basically all over the world in the U.S., right? And I'd accumulate things. And eventually, when I ran out of wall space at the Legends, I started on my basement, which is about 1,400 square feet of stuff. And then it's evolved now to where I'm at the other end of the spectrum. Yeah. I don't collect as much, right? And now the deal with my wife is I tell my friends, I go, if you hear Ron Lyons bites the bullet, I go, at least give her a week to grieve before you ask her when the garage sale is.
So, Gary, you've been down where all these carts are. I mean, it's crazy to see.
Well, it is. You know? And when I went to Belvedere in 1975, people were allowed to have their own carts. Mm-hmm. And there was a collection of stuff there that, like Ron's got probably 95% of those kind of carts, but oddities. And I mean, the golf cart he's got that really blows me away is the one they made one for Frank Sinatra and one for President Kennedy.
Okay.
And they only made 20 of them, right, Ron?
25.
Oh, 25. Yeah. But this thing is, there's a picture of John F. Kennedy, and I'm thinking it's probably at Martha's Vineyard. Somewhere.
No, it's at Hyannisport.
Okay.
Kennedy would fly in on the chopper there from Washington, D.C., land at Hyannisport. Kids would hear him coming, and he'd run out and jump on this golf cart. There's the picture that Gary's referring to.
Yeah.
There's 14 kids dangling from the golf cart as he drives around the compound at 50 miles an hour.
That's the other thing. Like, that thing really goes.
Yes, it's on an Isetta chassis.
So, yeah, what's this
it'll
cart?
Go 60 miles an hour.
Oh,
which is important.
Yes,
you know.
60s.
If you want to be the big dog, you can have the fastest.
Well, if you want to cheat, I mean, you always have a
good lie if your cart's going 60.
Yeah. Donald could use that one to get to the.
Yeah, he wouldn't cheat at golf, Trump, would he?
No.
So, do you have a favorite cart in the collection?
But that's one of them, right? I've got a few. You know, I still find the odd golf cart, and I spend the winters, or part of the winters when I'm in town here, restoring them, right? And I found a nice one. It was made by the Arnold Palmer Golf Cart Company of Canada.
Wow.
And that's a little single-seater, and it means a lot to me because Arnold Palmer, I mean, obviously, and the fact that it's Canadian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, also, you have at the course a lot of hickory clubs.
And yeah, we play with, yeah. Those are more just wall hangers, and but I got a pretty good collection of patent clubs at home. But you're right, you know, we have a kind of a spectrum of, you know, the early days of golf.
Gary, have you ever gone in the hickory tournament? Did you ever play in it?
I played in it last year, yeah.
Okay.
And I took the hickories out, and I couldn't believe, I couldn't hit it very far. I never really could. But
we say the hickories are a good excuse to play bad golf.
So the hickory tournament, when did you start that?
Oh, we started that in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And our first person that we honored was Alex Olnick.
Okay.
Who was a fixture in early Edmonton golf. He had the Gerson Hill driving range, the Masters Golf School and that. And we did it kind of, we surprised him. He didn't know he was going to be, you know, we just invited a bunch of his friends, pretty informal, right? He came in, he was surprised, oh, what are you doing here? And, oh, look over there, there's Joe. It was pretty funny. We got him off guard. And he was our first legend.
In your legends room. We'll get to that in a second. Let's stay with the Hickories for a moment. And how did the tournament, like when you first started it, and guys would dress up in, you know, in costume or whatever you want to call it. They had the knickers and
dress
the hats.
Up like Bobby Jones. Yeah. The knickers and the little funny little hat and little take on a little humility.
Yeah. Well, it matched the golf era. I mean, for the Hickories. Mm-hmm. And they still come out that way now. And I was impressed. You got guys coming from all over the world to play in this thing.
Yeah, we do. We got friends. We play in different venues around the U.S. and over in Scotland.
So when I was working at ITV/Global, it's a number of years ago, I went out and did a story on the tournament. And I'm a left-handed golfer, and who's the left-handed? And I mean, to find left-handed Hickories isn't easy.
That was Johnny Bagel.
Okay. So Johnny says to me, do you want to take a swing? I said, sure. So I don't know what kind of club it was.
That was his go-to driver you had.
Anyway, I obviously, if you've golfed with me, I swing too hard, and I swung too hard and snapped the club in half.
Nice.
And he just, the look on his face was like,
yeah. It's funny when you break one, they have that whipping, like a string whipping, and it's about 20 yards long, right? Yeah. Hits the, Kevin hits the ball, and all you hear is this zing, and that's the whipping unfolding as the head, you know. When he first hit it, I thought it was like a squirrel or something running across the fairway in front of me, but it was poor old Johnny's club head.
Yeah. I'm sure that impressed him, eh? That's really nice. Have you got anything else nice that I can break?
And especially a left-hander.
Like,
it's hard enough to find Hickory right-handers. It, never mind left.
Well, remember the old days to be left. You know, the left. They thought, oh, it's the devil. You know, if you're right, can't right, left-handed. Right. You can't golf left-handed. So there are very few from that era. Yeah. And I can tell you, Johnny still misses that club.
I can tell you, my game can go right to hell. That's for sure.
I saw Kevin doing another. I remember you hit the crookedest shot I ever saw on number two on Champions. Like, we're up at the top of the hill. They're playing the Blues, right? And the green is like to your right. He hits a shot like a whip, just whips it, and it landed on number four fairway.
Oh, was this with a real club though?
That was your real club.
Oh,
right?
Boy, well,
I said, holy smokes, and I've never seen anybody even come close.
No, you're further away. Well, it's all about angles.
It is, that's where I wanted to come in from.
You were further away than you were from the tee.
Boy, Ron Lyons with us, Kevin Carey's, Gary Meyer, as we focus on golf every Friday from 10 to 11. And as I said earlier, once the golf season starts getting going, gets up and running, we'll start asking our viewers about some of their favorite holes, favorite courses, maybe favorite trips, some of their things that they've really, what's attracted to the game? Why do they stay in the game? So these are just some questions that I'll ask you guys, Gary. And they say golf's it's a lifetime game.
Well, it is. And it's a game you can play with other people, right? I mean, everybody's swear, but game of a lifetime. You can play with your spouse, travel the world. The people that you meet, it's amazing that and you can figure out what type of a person they are just by playing a few holes of golf with them. You know, are they honest? Are they sincere? Mm-hmm. You know, what's their ego like? That kind of thing. And it's the only sport where you can really do that. I mean, it's being an individual sport, kind of like skiing, but, you know, you don't ski right together. You don't ride. You ride the chair, I guess, together. Yeah. But
you're calling penalties on yourself.
Well, if you're, you know my motto, you only cheat, you're only cheating yourself.
Yeah, when you talk about, you know, golf being a game for the ages, you can start when you're one or two, as soon as you can walk and play. I played with a fella in the States here in our Hickory tournament. Mm-hmm. His name was Frank Hardison. He's from Laguna Beach, and he was 99 years old, right? And still a frisky little guy. He was, you know, quite a small guy. He's hopping the little, you know, ropes and everything. Yeah. And a nice story attached to that was he asked me, he goes, Ron, he goes, you know, I'd like to celebrate my 100th birthday at the Masters, right? He goes, do you know anybody who has tickets? And I only know one guy in the U.S., and he gave me his tickets one time. And I didn't really want to ask him. He was Joe Black. He was the commissioner of the PGA Tour. So I said, okay, I'll call Joe and ask him. I didn't. He goes, yeah. He goes, well, leave it with me. And a week later, he calls me back. He goes, yeah, Frank can have my ticket.
Wow.
So he gave him his ticket to, so he could go there and celebrate his 100th birthday on April 4th. You know.
Wow. What a great story.
And that's, yeah, that's the thing about golf, mm-hmm. you know, the people, and, you know, kindness and...
Mm-hmm. What have you seen, Ron, from just the 30 years that you, you know, when you started Legends and seen, well, I remember too, go back to the 80s when, you know, Goose Hummock was just getting going. And then you've seen the influx, the amount of golf courses that have been, mm-hmm. that have been built in and around Edmonton.
There was in that early 90s, late 80s, it was kind of a wave of golf courses that came on. Mm-hmm. At that time, land was pretty reasonable and now you see the opposite. As land becomes more available, a lot of these courses, it's more valuable to sell your course and develop it. So that's how courses disappear. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find a course, you know, where you have a great water source close yeah. to town with all the, check all the boxes.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and that's why you don't see as many new courses coming on now.
Yeah. What are some of the hardest things to run a course? Like, what challenges? Is it staffing? You know, just
I mean, we've been pretty lucky, and it kind of gets back to what you say about Legends being a part of the community, right? Mm-hmm. We're central. We have a good nucleus of people, you know, that have been with us. And, you know, Sherwood Park is a area where yeah. there's lots of disposable income, lots of shift workers. So we haven't that hasn't been the biggest problem, right? But I think probably just, I don't know, for me, it's just... You know, the grind, I guess, mm-hmm. right? You know, you got to get on.
It's a short season,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is a short season. But, you know, we've been lucky. We've only ever had one year where our revenues dipped a little bit. And that was mostly because of construction around us. You know, they'd shut a road down mm-hmm. and that. But every year, you know, as it grows, Sherwood Park area grows and that. And we've never had any pressure off our tee sheet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the rates, Ron, I just came back from Phoenix. And, I mean, you can't play anywhere there for under $100 hardly.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the big ones, I mean, you're shelling out $500 yeah. to go out and punish yourself. So where are you at in relation like, you know, to everybody else?
That's one thing, and it's my motivation. I always try to make golf reasonable.
Yeah.
You know, so if you go to Legends, we're typically at the bottom end of the spectrum when it comes to what we charge. And we're, you know, as the course has matured and we've, you know, made improvements, mm-hmm. which we do constantly, right? We're probably up there, getting up there with the quality of the golf we offer.
Yeah.
So I think in that respect, Legends is obviously good value for mm-hmm. the money, right? And a nice, yeah. nice track, a nice location.
You mentioned the Legends room earlier, and Gary, how many in there now? About 30?
30, yeah.
30? Gary was the most recent?
He was the most recent, and, you know, he's the only guy who called me. Most of the time I call them and ask them. I remember one day my phone rang and he goes, I hear this voice on the air and he goes, it said like, listen, buddy, right? He goes, if you don't get me in here, he goes, you're never going to hit another bad shot. So I go, so kind of, yeah. Well, yeah. I am secretly scared of him,
yeah.
you know. So,
who wouldn't be?
Yeah.
I begged to get in. you know. No. Actually, I'm not in the room. I'm kind of on the balcony.
You're above the urinal in the men's bathroom or what?
Using it to prop the door yeah. open.
He is the most yeah. unique guy because he's done, you know, he's not your typical guy you bring yeah. in, comedian. He's, you know, he's mm-hmm. a youngest guy to ever... You know, youngest head pro, yeah. and he's, you know, he's done things all over the world, met lots of people.
So touch on some of the golfers that are being honored on the wall. Let our listeners know, because we have such a great history of golf in our city.
We do, and every year just try to, you know, it isn't like a round, but usually try to pick, you know, different people. Like, you know, we've had like administrators, we've had golf course architects, like, mm-hmm. you know, Sid Puddicombe and Con Unger. And we've had like the only lady golf superintendent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Debbie from the Mayfair when she left.
And I mentioned Ernie Afaganis.
Ernie came along with Henry Martell.
Okay.
And everybody knows Ernie had the par 27 show.
Yes.
And Henry Martell is arguably the greatest golfer to ever, you know, come out of Alberta. You know, mm-hmm. he's the most dominant in his era. And we had just a myriad of different.
And the women golfers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had Betty Stanhope Cole, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Betty was, I played with her, right? She's very intimidating.
Yeah.
She'd scare the heck out of you, right? When you, we played. She took me to the Highlands Club Championship, right? And it started off as pretty funny because I see something in every putt. I never see a straight putt. And mm-hmm. she goes, oh no, that's just a little to the left, Ron. And so I hit it, miss it, right? And mm-hmm. next one is, oh, that's a little left, right? And by the end, it's straight.
I have to tell a quick story. Laura and I were golfing in Kananaskis, and you're going to like this because it would be, well, this last year, 98 ballpark, Legends hosted the Alberta Senior Women's Championship, correct?
Yes.
So I'm golfing in Kananaskis, and I'm with this, a pair of women are in front, and we're actually getting joined up with them. And I see this woman's cleat on her shoe. It says DW on it. And then I saw her swing, and I looked at her, and man, this is 98, this is 25 years ago. I'm like, yeah, she looks familiar a little bit. And so she tees off, and the woman that was with her was her sister. I said, who's this woman? And she's, oh, that's Diane Williams, my sister. I went, okay, Diane Williams. So I caddied for Diane at the Legends when she won the Alberta Senior Women's Championship. And it's either 98 or 99, I can't remember.
It was in the very early
yeah,
days.
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, I was blown away. We had a ball. Last fall.
Yeah, I learned something from watching the women too, right? Like how strategic they are around the course. Mm-hmm. You know, they play smart golf.
Oh, when she was still like everything around, and she would be, I think she'd be around 78, 79 right now, and around the course, she was just around the greens was fabulous.
Yeah, like Bob Wiley was like that too. He was one of our lads, and that guy was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can't thank you enough for coming in the studio, Ron. Really appreciate your time. This has been great. I love talking the old stuff, and I think we'll have you probably back again this summer because it was a lot of fun today.
Yeah, well, you know, thanks for having me, and you know, I wish you guys all the best.
Yeah,
we're gonna have
some
good
fun.
Guy here. No shortage of words coming from this guy sitting next to me.
He's kind of quiet today.
Well, listen, no, you folks, you got to get out. Go out and see that museum.
Yeah,
it's incredible. I mean, and the other stuff. How many golf balls now? In that collection?
Well, I started a collection of country club balls from all over the world, mm-hmm. and I got a collection off a fella in Wetaskiwin, an old ball hawker there, Russ Eaney, and he had 19,000 different country clubs. So I added that with my meager collection, and there's about 20,000 different country clubs and some big country club balls in a big cabinet at the back in one of the areas of the museum, right?
It's crazy.
And there's only 40,000 golf courses in the world, and that's half of them, so...
Oh, yeah? Impress us. Name them.
Gary's right. If you get a chance, to our listeners, go out to Legends. Check this museum out. It's one of a kind. It's one of a kind in the world.
It is. Yeah, it absolutely is.
If you'd like to see, without having to come to the course, if you just like to see the collection, if you go to our website, www.thelegends.ca, last year I did a drone video. Oh. I lined up the whole collection, all 80 golf carts, down number one fairway, and I hired a guy with a drone, and he flew the collection from different angles. So that's a cool way to see them spread out and in nice.
Well, Ronnie, good luck this year with the course. Hopefully we get, you know, just sunshine every day and rain at night. That's how we'd like it.
Yep. We got to take what we get and enjoy the good days. Right?
Thanks for coming in, Ron.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ron. We'll talk soon. Okay. That's Ron Lyons from the Legends Golf Club. When we come back, Stu McDonald from the Oilers Entertainment Group to talk about the Oilers starting their playoff run this Monday and what's going on in and around the rink at Ice District and all that fancy stuff. That's coming up right after the break. Kevin Carey, Gary Myers, stay with us. You're going to enjoy the final break with that song for
Sonny
the next
James. I
Sonny
love that.
James. Yeah, well, that's from Slapshot. We've said that.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, not every cut of Slapshot.
I had to tell Bob Michael, and he couldn't tell me who the guy was. And, you know, Bob's a music aficionado.
Yeah.
But, okay, is Sonny James Canadian, or is he
No,
American?
He'd be American.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Pierre LeBrun reporting. So he just got off the phone after doing an interview with Utah NHL owner Ryan Smith. Said the updated total is now at just over 20,000 season ticket deposits.
Wow. Isn't that something?
For now, I mean, I believe we had Remy Masti on. No, that wasn't Remy. It was Coma on from Salt Lake. And he said that for hockey, because of sight lines, et cetera, in this building that they're starting out on, and there have been reports that it's 14,000 for fans. Oh. He says 12,500. Okay. So, you know, they got to get the new building there going as well.
Right.
They have to get things humming along in the sense that they need an NHL caliber facility. It's not there right now. Oh. People have to realize that Salt Lake.
Now, the team that's there now, the Grizzlies, the
East Coast Hockey League, yeah.
That's coached by Ryan Kanasiewicz.
Yes.
And that's Ray Kanasiewicz's, that would have been his great uncle. It would be, because it's Sid Kanasiewicz's son.
Okay, but, so Ray was with the Oil Kings back in and the Oilers, and, you know.
Yeah. And, well, he coached.
Yes.
He's had a spin. But talking about going to Utah, Wayne McBean is the...
Yeah. Keep going. Yeah, just a quick one. Yeah. Yeah.
No, Wayne McBean's the president of the...
the Alumni.
Alumni Association of Phoenix. And he sat in on a couple of meetings. And apparently the guy who has the team paid $300 million for it.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting $1 billion. So do the math. But there's also a bit of money owing... And apparently, the debt that he had in Glendale, they're just going to let that go, which amazed me.
There's a lot of moving parts as well. Let's welcome in Stu McDonald from the Oilers Entertainment Group to chat about the upcoming Oilers playoff run. Good morning, Stu. You're with Kevin Carey's and Gary Meyer.
What a bonus having Gary with you today. Yeah.
Stu, how are you?
It truly is a bonus, isn't it? Yeah. I got to get the first question out of the way, Stu, and it was talked about a little last night, and then a couple of viewers have discussed it as well. If this series with LA goes seven games, what happens to that WNBA game at Rogers Place on the same date?
Yeah, that's our live entertainment team are working on, as they do, as actually every team does once they get their dates in locked in, is okay, what are we doing with any conflicts we have in the building? So I'll say there's some negotiation going on that right now. There's always contingency on the discussion when it comes in. I don't have the official announcement on where it's going to go, but that there's always an awareness, any NHL or NBA building booking anything generally from mid-April to mid-June have always got contingencies because of the fact that, you know, the NBA, NHL has the potential to override a date inside the building to fit schedules in. And especially when you get, you know, with us playing LA, you know, they've got three teams active in that arena right now. And so it's, you know, it's not so much our avails, but our schedule can move around based on what their avails are for our road games. And so, it's a annual challenge for every facility to try to keep your building as busy as possible. But I know our team will have been on the phone with them probably starting at about 11:30 last night just to work out alternatives.
Yeah. So they could move to a Saturday if they chose to or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a matter of, you know, what's the flexibility on both sides, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas we've tried to keep the building as open as possible. It's a big event for the city, but trying to keep the building as flexible as possible on those off days that we can get things in. At the same time, you know, you're like every other building, you're trying to get as many events in and work around NHL scheduling. Yeah. But playoffs are the one that no matter what happens, you know, there's always a chance there's going to be conflicts on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Edmonton's famous for, you know, the first, like the Heritage Classic and that. Can you imagine the seventh game, road hockey, right here in Edmonton,
hey.
National Hockey League.
I do remember back in, I think it was the 2006 playoff run that we caused quite a challenge to a lot of young Oilers fans when Dora the Explorer had to be relocated from Rexall Place in round four in the Stanley Cup Finals. So it was like, it's got precedent. It's just, I mean, you'd like to have it that everything that's in gets locked and all the dates manage to work around, but it's, you know, we're a pretty busy building, but you look at a place like LA or Madison Square Garden for the Rangers that, you know, where they get multiple teams and multiple concerts and other shows going in, it's just this constantly balls are up in the air until, okay, the round is locked in. So, but as I said there, it's not a surprise to anyone. There's lots of contingency usually built in before the playoff series are even announced, and expect we'll hear something pretty quickly out of our live group on the WNBA game.
Yeah.
Well, four straight for the Oilers would pretty much solve that problem.
Exactly. Stu McDonald from the OEG with us, Kevin Carey's, Gary Myers, Sports 1440. So with the playoffs starting Monday at Rogers, everything ready to go on your end. I can't imagine how hard you and your crew have to work to get things going, to put on, you know, events of this magnitude.
Yeah, it's a fun time this year. I think it's a lot of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, we're so fortunate here with the passion of Oilers fans on, and especially since we moved downtown to Rogers Place, of packing the building for both home and road games for the watch parties we have available to put on. And then, you know, for the first couple of years, the expansion into Ice District Plaza, and last year to add Fan Park to it, has just been incredible. So yeah, our biggest challenge is really just coming up with more space and more initiatives for any fans who want to head downtown down to Ice District and be part of it on the, you know, the broader Rogers Place area. So we'll continue to do that for both home and road games, and for the most part though, our job's pretty easy inside the arena. It's like, don't get in the way of our fans. Let them provide home ice advantage and have everyone around the league be envious of the atmosphere they create here.
What are you looking at for crowds with both, as you say, Ice District and Fan Park? I mean, it offers you both options, you know, for certain types of fans, age groups, categories, anything you like as far as what you are able to have with both facilities up and running now.
Yeah, and we've been, you know, we had such a good relationship working with, you know, Alberta Liquor and Gaming, with Edmonton Police Service, with City of Edmonton, to continue to expand in a way that all fans can enjoy. And so both the Plaza and Fan Park, the Plaza for the Ford tailgate party and the Fan Park with all the Scotiabank initiatives going on there, are both licensed, but both all ages. And so families can come down and enjoy, you know, and as always, when we've got our fans coming down on site, we expect everyone to do it in a enthusiastic but responsible way, which we're generally pretty successful at. And then for our road games, were again this year, Rogers is presenting the road game watch parties. And I think we're lined up for round one, certainly for the first couple games. And it'll be, again, a $5 donation, a $5 ticket purchase, but a donation to the Community Foundation, which, again, gets reinvested back into oil country. But it's really has become one of my favorites to see, you know, 15, 16,000 people inside Rogers Place for a game that's a couple thousand miles away usually. But to see all these young fans and young families that are in there, that, I mean, it's a lifelong memory for them. I mean, they're one, it's kind of cool watching it in the building without many people and, you know, watching it on the scoreboard. But you know, when you grow up, say, hey, man, I remember when mom and dad took me to Rogers Place and we watched this game and the Oilers were playing the Kings. And so it's to be able to stretch it to that and have the luxury to be able to have the building open, you know, most nights on the road games, at least in the past, that it takes that, not the Oilers experience, but just the sports experience and what it can mean for creating lifetime memories to a much broader group.
Mm-hmm. Your staff does an unbelievable job down there, Stu. It seems that everybody jumps on board. I mean, it's all hands on deck. The thing that amazed me, too, was, you know, Stu's voice gets a little raspy toward the end because, you know, everybody's out there and he's, you know, ice cold Coke. So, you know.
That's Pepsi, but just to be accurate. Gary.
That's right. And I'm a Pepsi guy, too. I don't know what happened.
Stu, is there, you said in the release this morning that there are a limited number of tickets available for Monday. And also just to touch on the fan-to-fan resale ticket availability.
Yep, you bet. So both from Kevin, we've got tickets went on sale a couple days ago. We've got limited seats that we've released. We've got a few that are left in Sky Lounge, which is our food inclusive club at the above the Zamboni entrance. That's generally full of season seat holders during the regular season and groups, and the group inventory we've opened up. So that's an opportunity that a lot of fans probably haven't seen before. So kind of a very all-inclusive and cool way to watch the game. And then there's a limited amount of lower bowl seats, like very limited. Some of them are in threes, but if people are looking and thinking of coming down, like that's usually if you're buying in threesomes, like almost any event, concert sports teams don't break up threes to leave singles. And so that's if you've got a couple friends that you're looking to come with you, that's usually the best opportunity at playoff time to grab seats. And then fan-to-fan resale for sure is up and running. Those all got posted about 3 days ago. There's a great selection out there. One thing with them, prices vary regularly. It's a very fluid and dynamic priced world because the fans are posting their own prices on them. They usually start above retail and then they'll usually mirror, you know, where the demand for the game pricing is based on the number of seats that fans will continue to adjust their pricing right through to game time. But generally, you'll see those tickets on the secondary market on fan-to-fan resale being available up to at least early on game day. And then, you know, playoff time, the expectation is usually they're priced above the retail seats that we release.
Yeah.
But I will say anyone who's interested in purchasing, you know, on the secondary market, so fan-to-fan resale on them, is the one advantage on purchasing off the Oilers platform, which is Ticketmasters or EdmontonOilers.com. Mm-hmm. They're all the pink dots on the map when you go in. Is you purchase off that, you're guaranteed to be in the building. There's a lot of sites where they say, like, hey, it's a guarantee. The guarantee is if there's something wrong on getting access into the building with your ticket, they'll refund your money, but that doesn't help you when you're standing at the gate. I mean, if they're buying off the Oilers, it's 100% legit, 100% guaranteed, and 100% that you'll get in the building for that evening should anything happen. Mm-hmm. That the team's always getting you in. So, but lots of options. That is the great thing about today. I mean, you think back, you know, 20 years ago, it was you're either looking for someone on the street selling a ticket or you were just planning to watch on TV. There was no last minute options. And to have this still, and again, dynamically priced based on market demand, but to have this available out there, there's on almost no event today that you can't get a chance, almost right up to the event day to depending how much you want to invest, but to get a chance to get inside.
Yeah, those poor guys on the walkway over from Northlands to the rink. Yeah, they used to stand out there all the time back in the day. Anything you want to add quickly, Stu, that we might have missed here as we wrap it up?
No, I think just, you know, as you guys saying, it's just such a great time of year. And, you know, to Gary's point, I've been working hard. It's like, this is the easiest hardworking time for everybody. It's just adrenaline's high. Like, there's not a better time to be a member of Oil Country. I mean, it's magic, and it's magic what our fans create. That's the greatest part. So I guess if a few fans asking, we still wear an orange in the building. Yep. Even though it's not our primary color, it looks spectacular on TV, still part of our brand. And so we're encouraging fans to continue to wear orange. And if you're coming down to any of the events on site, to come early for them to make sure you've got your spot. But as we showed, I think it was the game six when we won in LA last year, it was the road game. I think it was a Saturday night. I think we had close to 30,000 people on site with the game 2,000 miles away. Yes. And we expect demand, especially with the weather forecast, which looks great. But if you're thinking of coming down for any of the outdoor events, just check in. We've got the start times posted on the Oilers website. Check in on that. But yeah, come on down early and stay late and hopefully celebrate a few wins along the way.
You betcha, Stu. We're looking forward to it. We'll see you down at the rink and in Ice District. Good luck to you and your crew and to the entire organization here. Hopefully a long playoff run.
Thanks, Cab. Thanks, Gary.
Yeah, all right, let's go, Oilers.
Yeah, Stu McDonald, Oilers Entertainment Group. Thanks to all our guests today. And our 10 o'clock hour with Backscape coming aboard. Gary, you're fired up about this.
Here it is. I mean, how's that?
Will it do your eyebrows, too?
Well, yeah, it accidentally did.
Yeah. I love it.
This thing is unbelievable.
It looks good on you, too.
Yeah. Well, and for us guys that are follically challenged, I mean, you can shave your head in just minutes. Yeah.
Check them out at backscape.com. Looking forward to our great long relationship with Backscape. On the 10 o'clock hour here on Fridays.
Yeah. Gary? Kudos again to Marty Niles. I mean, Edmonton boy who...
Outstanding.
Inventor.
Yeah. Gary, we'll see you back here next Friday. Good job again today.
Thanks, guys.
That's Gary Myers, our co-host with Ron Lyons at 10:20. We had Stu McDonald, Paul Sir, Eduardo Encina, Mark Spector, Ethan Sears, and our co-host on Friday for Bon Ton Bakery, Eddie Steele. Coming up, top of the hour, it is Fantasy Frenzy with the former Ross Shepp-Tiebert,
Connor Hallett,
and the Duke of Delburn at 12 o'clock, the lowdown with Ellen Mitchell. 2 to 6, Jason Greger drives us home right here on 1260. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. It's going to be just super outside. Get out, enjoy yourself, and here we go. NHL playoffs are here. Oilers Kings game number one on Monday. Top of the hour, Fantasy Frenzy. Before that, time now for a Sports 1440 update brought to you by Legacy Heating, where their rates never change. No overtime charges on your furnace or your air conditioner. That's how you build a legacy at legacyheating.ca. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll see you back here on Monday. Here is the Duke with a Sports 1440 update.